Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we come into your presence to worship you this morning. Father, we understand that we do that because you have made it possible for us to know you, to love you, to walk and live in relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we come this morning, we come seeking to hear your voice speaking to us. And we ask you would do that now through your word in such a way that our lives would be shaped and molded by your loving hand. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm not sure when it started, but at some point, learning things in school shifted. For a while, the motivation of learning to know was the pattern, but then it shifted to learning because it will be useful. Actually, to be honest, it became not bothering to learn because it didn't seem to be useful. As I think back, for me, the transition probably coincided with when I first took algebra. With all the talk of exponents, coefficients, variables, and constants, I could not imagine how I would ever use this stuff. Why learn it? When would I ever use it? Why does it matter? That tune is running through my head. I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger. My short-term vision as a 14-year-old had long-term impact, and not for my good. Not only did I end up in summer school retaking algebra, I painted myself into a corner of limited options down the road because I lacked that particular foundation. For more reasons than one, it did matter. Well, in today's second lesson, we have Luke's description of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The words used in the Bible, both Hebrew and Greek, are often used interchangeably, meaning to test or to tempt. When referring to the action to test someone, it implies a more neutral or even benevolent purpose of proving or improving a person's character. In that sense, even God may test us. When referring to the malicious intent of leading a person into wrong attitudes or actions, that is what we typically call being tempted. Being tempted in that way never comes from God, but is the function of the world, the flesh, or the devil. As J.I. Packer explains, temptation is not sin, for Christ was tempted as we are, yet remained sinless. Temptation becomes sin only when and as the suggestion of evil is accepted and yielded to. One of the clear affirmations made by Christians through the ages is that Jesus thoroughly resisted these and all temptations he ever faced. He was and remains without sin. The Lamb without spot who knew no sin but became sin on our behalf. The perfect sacrifice who gave himself as our Savior. Here Jesus is demonstrating the validity of the Father's declaration just heard at his baptism. You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. Well, it's quite possible that some may have a why does this matter response to all of this. Well, it does matter. It matters at the most basic level of Jesus being the Lamb without spot. If not true, he would not have been fit to be our Savior. It also matters at the personal experience level for Jesus. If not true, he would have missed out on the fullness of what the Father had for him, both in this world and in glory. But while some people have a hard time wrapping their minds around that truth about Jesus, there is part of me that is more baffled by the notion that the devil even tried to tempt Jesus. We hear repeated instances when it seems the devil knows who Jesus is and tries to avoid having anything to do with him. But this is different, as an all-out, full-frontal attack to undermine Jesus' work and ministry before he seems to get started. Perhaps that is the key, understanding that the evil one is always determined to undermine the work of God in the world. And he will employ whatever deceptive means that suit his purpose. In the case of the three temptations of Jesus specifically described here, we see that pattern demonstrated. In the first, the devil strikes at Jesus at his current point of weakness. Verse 3, we hear it described. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Having fasted for 40 days, Jesus was hungry. You think? The temptation was to subvert the more significant work of God in order to satisfy an immediate need of the flesh. The deception being that personal satisfaction is the most important thing to consider. That's the first one. In the second temptation, the devil seeks to limit Jesus' vision to the confines of this world. Picking up in verse 5, "And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The enticement of worldly power and prestige was offered for the exchange of Jesus' worship before the devil. The temptation of tangible worldly gain for the price of unseen spiritual devotion and veneration. The deception being that the devil had such authority to begin with, and that Jesus could find a shortcut to glory which avoided the cross. That's the second one. With the third temptation, the devil is seeking to persuade Jesus to challenge God's promises rather than trusting in the Father's faithfulness. Verse 9, "And he led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here.'" And it continues on, even quoting scripture, the evil one deceptively distorting what God had promised in order to raise doubts and suspicions. The temptation being the presumption of fabricating a difficult situation to make God prove himself. The deception being that in addition to the twisting of scripture, this turns true faith upside down by insisting God conform to our demands. I hope you can see it. In each case, there is a choice between two directions, walking with God or turning away from God. In each case, Jesus made the same choice, the choice of faithful obedience to the Father in completing the work he came to accomplish in the only way it could be done. It matters because of the consequences at stake. We, you and I, know that we do not and cannot live up to that standard of being without sin, which raises the question, why does it matter that we bother ourselves with the idea of resisting temptation? I mean, neither you nor I are the savior of the world, so why does it matter? Well, at the most basic level, it matters because it is our sin which separates us from God. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we hide from God even as he calls our name. That is what the Bible means when saying, "For the wages of sin is death." Along with that foundational issue, I would maintain that it also matters at two similar levels as with Jesus. What do I mean? Well, for one, resisting temptation matters regarding the impact on how God wants to use us to accomplish his ongoing work in the world. When we give in to temptation leading us to sin, we are damaging our effective witness in the world. I mean, think about it. You name the scandal. Sadly, there are many from which to choose. Expressions of materialism, greed, ambition, idolatry, self-preservation, self-gratification, and so on. Instances when the sinful behavior of Christians has prompted non-believers to say, it's all a farce. Whether directly or indirectly, we are causing harm to those around us. Especially as it feeds the notion that God doesn't matter because it pushes people away from him. When we do resist temptation, living in faithfulness to how God shows us to live, we demonstrate the distinctiveness of our new life in Christ. Not in a holier-than-thou sort of way, which causes us to look down on others. That's not what I'm talking about. But in a transformed life sort of way, which prompts us to look up to God in acknowledging his work in our lives, giving him credit for our redemption and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, knowing ourselves to be sinners saved by grace, as well as giving him credit for the way he is continuing to shape us to be more like Christ, showing ourselves to be redeemed children of God. Resisting temptation also matters regarding our personal experience of the fullness of what God has for us in this life and the next. When we give in to temptation leading us to sin, we damage our relationship with God and miss out on the best he has for us. Giving in to the deceptive allure of alternative baubles, we give up the positive benefits of the life intended by God. For example, I don't know how carefully you were listening to the first lesson, but the instruction God gave Israel that we heard about in that fits right in here. He told them that once they were in the promised land, they were to bring to God offerings of the first fruits of the produce of the land. Now, we have to understand, God did not say that because he needed to make a sandwich. He did not need that stuff. He was doing this for their benefit. It was an instruction intended for the benefit of the people. The temptation to keep the best for oneself, maybe bringing leftovers to God, was very real. To choose that alternative was to turn away from God in order to trust in their own understanding. They would be cutting themselves off from God and his promises. The positive side of faithfulness does not always lead to what we might imagine to be the good stuff, but it does invariably lead to the benefits of God. That is where we face the choice between trusting in God or trusting in ourselves. Again, for example, the offering of the first fruits was to be done along with the recounting of all the marvelous works God had done to bring the people into the land. Through that process, people would be reminded of God's deliverance and provision for them. That would lead to rejoicing among the people of God, as well as encouraging ongoing trust in God for every facet of life. Faith and faithfulness, breeding ongoing faith and faithfulness. I've only seen the commercials and have no intention of watching the new TV show Temptation Island. The commercials alone make clear the absurdity of the show's premise. couple is going to some resort-type place to see if their relationship can survive the intentional dalliances of intrusive saboteurs. Supposedly looking for genuine romance, the whole setting is an artificial environment idolizing carnal pleasure. There is nothing genuine about it, and it is intentionally destructive. Why go there? That is a stark example of the worldly mindset, which stands in direct contradiction to God's intentions, purposes, and blessings for human relationships. Why does it matter for us to resist temptation? Not because we are trying to earn our way into heaven or make ourselves perfect for God. That ship sailed a long time ago, which is why we need a Savior. The verse from Romans I alluded to before has a second part. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We count on that. Our resisting temptation matters for both our public witness and our personal experience as redeemed children of God. While that does involve the key aspect of self-control, it is crucial for us to remember self-control is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, in our own strength. Resisting temptation can only be done as we walk by the Spirit, trusting in God to receive the benefits of trusting in God. We are encouraged to remember, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we are quiet before you, we ask that you would search our hearts and our lives to shine the light of your truth in such a way that we would see those ways we have turned away from you for the purpose of returning, for the purpose of confessing our sin and receiving your forgiveness and coming back to you, our Abba Father. Lord, we also pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would enable us to see clearly those occasions when we are faced with two very different choices of turning away from you or walking with you. And even then, help us to choose to walk with you so that we might realize all the genuine benefits that you have for us in our lives and how you want to use us to accomplish your work in the world around us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.